Hello and welcome to the Turnstiles podcast as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football. The more observant of you that are watching on YouTube might have noticed that I'm flying solo for this League 2 edition. James and Muzz otherwise occupied this week. So James did join me for the Championship and League 1 editions and episodes this week. So if you've not yet checked them out, be sure to do so on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. Some good points and analysis in those episodes this week. So before I get into the league to kind of run down and my thoughts on how it's been going, if you could do me a massive favour and like the video and subscribe to the channel if you're on YouTube, that would help us massively. If you are watching on, listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, if you could still nick onto YouTube when you get a wee minute and like the video, that would, like I say, help us massively. So this week, as I said, three videos, one per division, Championship, League One and League Two. League Two has drawn the short straw of it just being myself flying solo. James did that a couple of weeks ago, so it's my turn. This week, like I say, Muzz and James, excuse me, otherwise occupied, they'll be back with us next week as we hopefully get back to normal. So what we'll do then is we'll just take a look at the results from the weekend there, and I'm going to just do two things on the screen here. If you are watching on YouTube, if you're listening, you're not missing anything. All I'm doing is I'm just pulling up the league table and just the results from the weekend, just to keep me right as I go through it. So, in no particular order, Friday night was the big one. Friday night lights through in Edinburgh, where Stirling Albion took a lead through Jack Leach. Edinburgh City pegged them back through Innes Murray, then went ahead themselves through James Hilton before Dylan Mackin got an equaliser for Stirling Albion. That game finished 2-2. Decent for both teams in terms of it keeps Stirling Albion 4 unbeaten. You know, they did 3 wins before it. Saw the interview with Kevin Vukovic. He's probably slightly disappointed that they didn't take all 3 points. 18 shots compared to Edinburgh City's 8. More possession, more shots on target. And I think they had 8 corners to Edinburgh's 3. So quite a comprehensive performance from Stirling Albion, just maybe lacking that finishing touch in front of goal. Pretty much, if you'd offered them a point, let's say the chance to maintain an unbeaten record and to kind of keep Edinburgh at arm's length, you'd probably have taken it. But in hindsight, having seen the performance, the stats, you'll be slightly disappointed. Went with an attacking lineup: Carrick, BK, Leach and Mackin. All started. Curtis Roberts, as we know, likes to get forward and can influence games in the final third as well. So fair play to Stirling Albion away from home, going attacking. From Edinburgh City point of view, hot and cold, isn't it? They'll be happy they managed to peg back Stirling Albion, but then disappointed themselves that they couldn't hold the lead for longer than 10 minutes and allowed Stirling back into it. Let's say, as with Stirling Albion, keeps them only one defeat in the last 5, unbeaten in 3. And obviously, Forfar drew as well, so there's no ground kind of lost in terms of them getting into playoffs, Edinburgh City. So I think both managers, two good teams, they'd probably just shake hands on a point and move on. Obviously, both would have liked to have won it. But I think for both teams, avoiding defeat was the big one. As we always say on the podcast, if there's any fans there, get in touch with us and let us know your thoughts. My point of view, both managers would have taken a point pre-game. However, having seen the stats and the possession, corners, shots from Stirling Albion, it seems like Edinburgh have maybe got away with one ever so slightly. So that got the weekend of fixtures off to a great start, to be fair, with a 2-2 each. Next game up then, Annan had the jaunt up to Elgin, and James's theory about tired legs was blown out of the water when Annan scored after 3 minutes. Owen Moxon, who's been in good form actually, put them ahead. Again, they saw less of the ball, Annan. Elgin kind of dominated possession, almost 60% possession, but Annan had more shots on target and more corners. So with the ball, they probably used it slightly better than Elgin did. As you can see on the league table there in the form, that's Elgin now without a win in 4, which it's disappointing for them. They're the teams with ambitions to be in the playoffs. They have been for the last couple of years. And I think Annan home, albeit despite Annan 4 wins out of 5, I think Gavin Price will be slightly disappointed with that. You've got to win your home games regardless of the form of the opposition in League 2, where a lot of the teams are much of a muchness. Tom Grivosti going in there, obviously on loan from Ross County. It'll be interesting to see how he's doing. In the highlights, it's hard to tell. He didn't look kind of stand out. However, he did get substituted after 80 minutes, like for like with a centre-half. At 1-0 down, you wonder if that's been a wee injury or if maybe Price could have been slightly more ambitious with his subs there and looked to bring on a more attacking player rather than, let's say, like for like with a sub to try and chase the game. You know, Oliver Hamilton's on the bench. They do have other options there. So, disappointing for Elgin. On the flip side, Annan, what a result. We asked the question, you know, they lost last weekend, or sorry, the game before. This was a big game for them. It's a turning point. Do they lose again and maybe get in a bit of a downward spiral? But they've managed to arrest that. They've gone up to Elgin. Great result. Scored after 3 minutes. But I say, seen less of the ball, but speaking to somebody who was at the game, they were disciplined. They dealt with everything Elgin kind of had. Happy to let them play in front of them. With the ball, they were more incisive. But I say, more shots on target, more corners. Liking the balance of that team with Smith and Anderson up front. Moxon and Dockett, I think, complementing each other well in the middle of the park. And Johnson and Wallace, good width. And they do have experience across the back. Fleming, Douglas, Loudon, Swinglehurst. So it's all going very, very well for Peter Murphy at Annan. And he'll be open, kind of long may it continue, but great result for Annan up in Elgin. And apologies to James's theory about their legs being sore and tired from the bus journey. Incorrect. Again, if you cast your eyes to the league table there, Stenhousemuir still bottom, and a disappointing result for them on Saturday away at Stranraer, who they were level in points with going into the game. Albeit it was at Stranraer, but like I say, you're going into the game level in points with the team, kind of joint second bottom with you as they were at the time. And it's an early goal again, 6 minutes. Yates put Stranraer up and one up, and they needed that Stranraer. They've been up and down. You can see their form there, loss, draw, win, loss. Now back with a win. Whereas Stenny, 1-1-5. We've been slightly critical of this Stranraer team. And I think that there's areas where they're strong, especially kind of at the back. Sonker and Robertson are liable for them. Burns as well. Middle of the park, Gallagher's a good player. Brought in Brock Watson, who got the second goal early in the second half. And he's obviously made a difference. Areas to improve for Stranraer, but a massive, massive win for them. And all of a sudden, they're two off the playoffs. You know, the start of the game on Saturday, they're a point off bottom. Now they're two off the playoffs. So Jamie Hamill will be hoping that'll get them on and they can push forward. On the flip side, Stenhousemuir, they've made a wee change in goals. Recently, Wilson's coming in instead of Ryan Marshall, who Swift had at BSC or Broomhill. So we were surprised at that. Wedderburn on the bench, didn't get himself on. Jordan Tappan, another summer signing on the bench, couldn't get on. Mikey Millers came straight in and went in the middle of the park. I don't know what you say about Steny now. They've made a lot of changes kind of week to week. A lot of changes in the summer in terms of a lot of bodies in, a lot of bodies out, but it seems week to week, you know, Crichton's just back in. I know that was an injury, but you're looking for them to get a settled team almost as quickly as possible. You know, Swift will be absolutely desperate for that. But bottom of the league, -6 goal difference, it's not looking great for Stenny, and they need to arrest that slide. Kind of mass over their home on Saturday, so they'll be looking to do something there. Again, they play Elgin, we'll come on to predictions in a bit, but as with Stranraer, it could be on Saturday if Stenny win. Looking at league table there, they go to 8 points. They'll have beaten Elgin, so obviously they'll be ahead of them. Cowden got a tricky game at Stirling Albion. Albion Rovers, tricky game away at Forfar. And Stranraer play Kelty Hearts. So for all we're saying, Stenny are struggling now and they need a win. And they do come at the end of play on Saturday, they could be 6. So it just sums up league two. It's very early doors, but they'll be desperate to get a win because their aim would have been playoffs if not challenging for the title. And albeit they're only 5 points off, but they need to get back to winning ways quickly. Potentially most predictable result, maybe not scoreline result of the weekend. Kelty Hearts went to Albion Rovers. Nathan Austin hat trick. Some disgusting kind of allegations of racism and things at that game, which I'll not touch on. Other than to say it's completely unacceptable if true, and I see Albion Rovers have taken the steps of banning some groups of fans to try and identify, rightly so, who's done it. So Austin walks away with a hat-trick in the match ball. Convincing win for Kelty Hearts, 60% possession, 10 corners, 14 shots. What's to be said that we've not said before? The bench, Bobby Abbey, Tidzer, to name but two. And they're just looking very, very solid. And in keeping tabs with them, though, and they're still, for all they're winning and winning comfortably with Kelty, they're still only 2 points clear, which would be a slight, almost annoyance for Kevin Thompson, I think, in that they're doing the business every week, but teams are latching on their coattails, but kind of convincing, comfortable win for them on Saturday. And potentially result of the day was for Cowdenbeath against Forfar at home, but Toyland 4 points before it, 4 points from six, having lost the last three at home. They got a goal down after kind of 20, 25 minutes to Matthew Aitken, who's on form this season, actually. And again, they keep plugging away. Cowden in the 80th minute, Craig Thompson pops up to get them a point. They actually saw more of the ball. They had more shots on target. Cowden, and I think playing at home really suits them. Buchanan, it looks like Robert Buchanan kind of played in the middle of the park for them. Bobby Barr's been on the bench. It looks potentially they've changed. And Ross Clark's played left of midfield and maybe a more defensive-minded player. Maybe to deal with Anderson or Thompson for Forfar. But looking at that Forfar team, I know James isn't a huge fan, but for me, McCallum and Gould, you know, Meekin and Anderson, Monroe at the back, Slater, Ness, Thompson, Anderson in midfield, Shepherd and Aiken up front. They've got the potential to kick on. That's not including the bench with likes of Travis on it, Archie Thompson, Thomas, who I really like as well. So I expect to see Forfar, no wins in five, to start to kick on, and they need to. As you can see there, that despite not winning in five, they're tucked in the playoff, because what they're doing well, other than two games ago, is when they're not playing well, they're not getting beat. Imagine to get points, and that keeps you in the race. So that was a summary of the games that were played at the weekend there. What we'll do is we'll just pull up my predictions for this weekend. There's no hiding place since James and Muzz aren't here, so we'll go through them just now. So I'm predicting three home wins and two draws. Home wins are back in Kelty Hearts, because there's not much to say. I think they'll win. They're strong. They've got good depth. They're flying. Austin's back now after his wee spell out, scoring goals. Stranraer, despite that good win at the weekend, they're away from home. I just think they might struggle away at Kelty. So I'm going Kelty win. Stirling Albion again, like I said, they're dominated Edinburgh City away from home. They'll be desperate to get back to Forth Bank. Surface is looking good. They're creating chances. They're playing well. They've got an abundance of attacking options, and they're starting 11 and off the bench. I think they've got enough to beat Cowden, who will go there and try and make it stuffy. They'll still go with a 4-4-2, but the potential to cause Stirling Albion problems, but I think a Stirling Albion win there. My last home win is Forfar, like I said there. They're on the coattails in fourth, no wins in five, but they're playing relatively well. They've got players back now. Anderson's back, Monroe's back. I think they'll just have too much for Albion Rovers. And then I see two draws. I think Stennis Muir and Elgin, it's a game that neither can afford to lose. Had it been in Elgin, I'd potentially have backed Elgin, but I think in Stennis on their surface, they'll have enough to get a draw there. So a point apiece for Stennis and Elgin. And lastly, Annan and Edinburgh City, I fancy a draw there as well. Edinburgh City, some good players, as we spoke about there. They're fifth in the league, desperate to get into that playoff spot, and they've got a good team, used to playing on the plastic surface as well, which can take some teams by surprise. Annan, great result up in Elgin, but I just think Edinburgh, I've got the experience, know how to go down there and get a point, so it's a draw for me in that game. So that rounds up my very brief League 2 thoughts and kind of analysis. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube or on Twitter at Turnstiles There. Be kind. James and Muzz will be back next week. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. Enjoy your game if you're at one. Thanks very much for watching. See you soon. Cheers.